Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Top Hats and Martinis Writing Contest recording. This is your host, the Solarized Knight, bringing you the first recording for this contest from Brisbane, Australia. I want to give a huge thank you to Wing McAllister for hosting this on his website, just so I could make this critique possible. Just a warning, guys, I'll probably pronounce few things a little differently to what you're used to, so just play along with it and try not to wet yourself laughing at my accent. Okay, here we go. First up, we have Kira Kira. Hi, Kira. There seem to have a few issues with your piece. The first thing I noticed was your stylistic choice to capitalise on each line break. Whilst capitalising on each line break isn't grammatically incorrect, I personally dislike it. It reads as if each new line is a new sentence, which kind of makes the poem sound like it's all fragmented. This is made worse by the fact that you didn't actually use guiding punctuation. Poems need commas and periods, just like prose does. Without them, your piece ends up being one long-ass sentence of grammatical incorrectness. You can be a little bit more lenient with the grammar in poetry, but fundamentally, you still need to implement the basic shit so it makes sense. In terms of following the prompt, I think you could have done a better job. The prompt was to write a piece about religious, philosophical, or ideological coexistence. The idea behind this is that when you get people with different opinions learning to tolerate each other and accept the differences, you know, get a whole epic cohesion thing happening. You use the word coexistence once during your poem, but you don't really go into depth about it, and so the whole piece just seems to have a message of quite the opposite of the prompt. And another thing, stop with the freaking repetition. For such a short poem, there isn't really an excuse to have 5 instances of repetition. This isn't a pop song. But never fear, there are lots of ways you can improve. For one thing, I suggest building a solid image that readers can relate to. Overuse of clichés such as hearts heard, blinking but didn't see, on the other side, truth replaced by lies, and powerful dreams, when all thrown together, it just kind of doesn't make any sense. I'm really not too sure what's going on in this piece. How can a heartbeat that isn't heard be described as listless and undefined? And what has a shadow on the other side got to do with your heart beating and not being heard or the lies being told? And what lies are being told anyway and who's telling them? You know, if you work on your imagery, shove some of that guiding punctuation into your next piece and tone down the clichés a little thing, I think your piece will work wonders. Next, we have Puke Face Freak. Hi, PFF. I'm glad you've managed to step up to the challenge, because I know you've been wanting to put your mind towards writing for a while. In terms of the prompt, it was a bit iffy. There wasn't really evidence of ideological standpoints until the conclusion, which sort of made the piece come off of as a fairy tale ending, though I do see it incorporated, so I'll give you that. One thing I found difficult with reading this piece was the awkward sentence structure. Try to wind down the sentences a little bit and keep to the basics. Instead of saying, Mary, the one surviving offspring of the man whose memory Josh had been obsessing, simply try Mary, the daughter of the deceased, or, even more simply, his aunt. It makes things a lot more simple and less distracting from the plot. Be careful with maintaining tense and your comma splices. I saw a few cases of this happening where 2 independent clauses should have been standalone sentences. In regards to the subject matter, I did find your approach interesting, though not exactly entertaining. The way you have approached death and the funeral setting was a little bit too distant. Yes, you told us that Josh was holding back tears and it was an emotional day for him, but that's the thing. You told us. The emotional language and imagery wasn't really strong enough for this scene to feel vivid and wholesome. It's not a bad attempt, but I definitely think you can touch up on that for your next piece. Lady Yo-Yo. This story had a nice hook, which would have been more powerful if you used a period instead of an ellipsis. Shortly after, though, you kind of blew it by putting way too much emphasis on telling rather than showing. I'm going to post a link in the which will provide some tips on how to avoid telling the story too much, since it seems to be a pretty common issue this month. Basically, I don't want to know that it is pitch dark and that there was no moon. I want to have a sensory experience while reading your work. This means upping the imagery and using your language to paint a scene. The next thing that bothered me was repetition. You use that lovely hook again, less than 200 words after you first used it. It seemed a little unnecessary. You continued with some more redundancies. For example, you said that everything was light, and then you followed by listing a bunch of white objects, such as the white walls and the white bed. We get it. The room is white. But wait, there's more. There's a guy wearing black shoes and a black shirt, and he has black hair and black everything. You know, you're writing for a 20-year-old university student, not a 6-year-old with Down syndrome. I'm sure you heard my little rant about repetition I gave Kira Kira, so, you know, die down the repetition a bit. There are also a few cases where you needed to drop some adjectives and commas. For example, his long, comma, bright, comma, white hair was darkened, comma, muddied, comma, and scattered in all directions. Fuck, that's a lot of commas. Sorry to, you know, mind my language, but really, that was a little bit redundant. Try splitting the description into a couple of sentences so you're not cramming every last detail into each line. Brevity is the key. Another thing I recommend is cutting back on some of those ellipses, you know, the three dots for pauses. You've used a lot of those in this piece, and it gets kind of old. I also saw that you had his saviour in brackets when commas would have sufficed. Be careful of fragments. Microsoft Word should highlight them for you in squiggly green lines, which I saw a lot of while I posted this into my Word document. I'm not a huge fan of fragments, especially when, you know, they sort of come off as lazy and conversational, but in some cases they can be powerful, but definitely don't overuse them. Also, dialogue needs to be put on each new line when someone talks, and dialogue tags need to follow a comma and aren't capitalised. So, it's warm, comma, he said, and he isn't capitalised. I found the conversations between the characters rather mundane, and they didn't really advance much the plot. So it seemed a little redundant. Just because you put a Christian named Christian, how generic, in a room with a shady-looking fellow named Lucifer, and they have cheery conversations, this doesn't really show coexistence, in my opinion. I'd like to see you make some refinements on some of the things I've mentioned, and try again for next prompt, because I did like your work, and I think you can really work on it to improve. Zorro's Girl! Your introduction is repetitive, redundant, and fragmented. Having a good hook is absolutely vital to get the reader engaged. I felt as though I might as well have been reading Once Upon a Time when I began reading this piece. The fragments are quite frequent. Grey is not a sentence. So dark is not a sentence. You get the idea. For another thing, it is extremely risky, at least while I'm the judge, to write in second person. Second person is great if it's engaging and interactive between the narrator and audience. But when a story starts inflicting roles upon me as a reader, I feel kind of irritated. Now, this might just be me, so feel free to point it off as a subjective point, but I really don't like being told what I'm feeling or how I would react in certain circumstances. You've given me no incentive to follow suit with this role. You've basically just pulling the strings of a marionette and dictating where I walked and how I felt. To avoid coming off as pushing a role onto the audience, work on showing rather than telling. Refer to the link I've posted in the thread and amplify the imagery. Make your piece sensual, especially if you're going to dip into second person. Concerning the subject matter, I found this somewhat entertaining. The idea of ostracism and an awkward discovery that there is more to the world than what you really thought is actually pretty nice. I think with some work on the backstory and some clear imagery of the character's upbringing would really amplify this piece. The details and reasons behind the boy's upbringing were pretty vague, and this dampened the story's potential. It also would, if you worked on the backstory, it would provide an element of contrast that this story really needs to pull off the enlightenment of, wow, there's a whole other world out there. I've got mixed feelings about this piece. I really liked the angle you took with the prompt, but the fragments and lack of imagery really did knock points from your score. I'm really excited to see what you have to offer next time, so keep my hints in mind. Zarina? I'm sorry, honey. Anyway, Zarina, I'm going to give you props for being the first person to submit an essay into this thread. It was a bold move, and you didn't do as badly as I thought when I heard you were submitting an essay. I'm honestly not very fan of them. Not a big fan of them, so... yeah, it was really quite a good surprise. I have to admit, though, the essay seems more of a conversational information pamphlet than the essay structure, because the structure doesn't come off as... your arguments don't really seem convincing to meet your hypothesis. I like the hook... I liked the hook of a rhetorical question, though I think that this piece was a little too informal. For the time when you delved into the abridged history of religion, the conversational air seemed a little bit insulting, for lack of a better word. I'm an atheist, so it's not like you're offending my religion, but yet when I read this historical section with such a light-hearted, you know, tone... it just really seems like it's a bit of a jest towards the religions you had listed. It was just too brief and informal, which gave me the impression you thought they were being silly, and I don't think people generally like their religion being belittled. I mean, I get that you're trying to make the point that religions have been fighting since the dawn of civilization, but I think more powerful language and strong imagery could have given it the reigning brimstone appeal that I think it needed. The second part of your essay seems more like a door-to-door salesman trying to promote Buddhism. It came off as sort of the vague arguments that Mormons and Jehovah's Witness representatives use when they come knocking on your door to share the word of the Lord. It also kind of seemed ironic that you were saying people should stop trying to convert others when the whole section seemed to be a conversion tactic, or at least pointing out where Buddhism is supreme over the other religions. Despite some issues with sentence structure and tone, I found this piece interesting and a little engaging. I'm still narrowing my eyes because it seems like it's a bit of a conversion tactic, but it was a fresh approach to the prompt that I wasn't expecting. Next time, I'd like to see you up your game in regards to imagery and some... I'd like to see a plot development, because this was really just sort of an essay structure. I'd like to see some prose or poetry from you. You, Tora! Oh, baby, do you know how to deliver a hook. Bam! Just listen to that strong language. There's such a beautiful contrast between the frail and weak human the narrator claims to be and the powerful language they use. See, this is the kind of second language I like. One where the narrator has a strong, clear character, and the same way someone writing from a first-person point of view has, with the added bonus of having that conflict that is confrontational towards the audience, yet not invasive enough to assume the thoughts and feelings of the party you address. I love the little flits of intertextuality you use. They are subtle, yet really powerful. Combining the simile of towering like a giant with the intertextual reference of Jack and the Giant Beanstalk was brilliant. And, oh my God, the glorious imagery. I am envious of your ability to conjure such vivid scenes and enchanting metaphors with unusual symmetry. Similes. Well done, Solar, well done. I might only suggest that you be careful not to delve too much into the imagery. You know, you don't want to end up like purple prose and flowery shit. There's a pretty fine line between epic imagery and purple prose. Your style is very refreshing, but I can imagine without a larger mix of shorter, snippier sentences, along with these sensual images you deliver generously, your work could stray way a little bit too far into the purple prose field. Minus a few fragments and minor grammatical errors, this piece was gold. The subject matter was brutal, yet rings with an air of truth that only those who have witnessed can understand. I grew up in a very broken home, as you probably know from what I have shared and what work you have read of mine, and so I read this story with my mother in mind and her relationship with her pathetic excuse of a boyfriend. I saw this story, you know, this very story you have written, unfold every day of my teenage life. This shit is real, and I can only imagine that you've either witnessed or experienced something similar, because it has... this depth of realism seems unfathomable without prior experience. And that kind of makes me sad, yet gain a profound respect for you as a person and a writer. Well, there you have it, everyone. That was the first recording of the Top Hats and Martinis writing contest. Eutora owned this shit with her fantastic piece, Devour Me, and I'm going to give a tie second place to Zoro's Girl and Zariana. Zarina. Whatever. Thank you guys for coming, and stay tuned for the next prompt.